We're back on Canuck Central, hour number two here on the program. 650-650 on the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. That's how you get in touch with the program and continue to send in your texts. We do appreciate them. This hour of Canuck Central is brought to you by BC Liquor. Until June 28th, save $6 on Eccentric Cabernet Sauvignon and Coors Light 24-packs. Visit your nearest BC Liquor location today. Enjoy responsibly. A lot to get into with the mailbag because it is Thursday, yes, but the Abbotsford Canucks and Charlotte Checkers take it over tomorrow for game one of their Calder Cup final. So it is a mailbag Friday on a Thursday. Hit the music. The perfect mailbag music we enjoy very much.
Yes. Yes, we do.
Your questions for us here. Sat sends out the tweet. You oblige. You can also ask some questions at 650-650 on the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. Also, that's where we will be giving away 2 4-packs to the Canadian men's national team taking on Honduras at BC Place Tuesday in the Gold Cup.
We do have some news on the NHL front. Not Canucks news.
Oh.
What a
man,
team.
I got not so excited.
Not the Canucks way news. You said it, I was like, whoa, something's about to happen.
Not Canucks news.
The way you looked at me, too, like, we got some news. I'm like, whoa, what happened?
We're turning off the mailbag.
Like, I just, like, pulled the popcorn up from the back of my head. Like,
that's
like,
what I made sure to say, right? I saw the look on your face. I'm like, I gotta let him down really quick. I can't keep this going on. But Connor Hellebuyck has won the Hart Trophy.
Really?
Yeah.
Hellebuyck,
yep.
The goalie.
Yeah.
For the Winnipeg Jets.
Connor Hellebuyck finished first in Hart Trophy voting. Leon Draisaitl second. Nikita Kucherov just edging Nate MacKinnon. 973 points and 972 points. Ooh. So Hellebuyck, Draisaitl, Kucherov are your three finalists, I suppose, with Hellebuyck winning it, and Nathan MacKinnon not even finishing top five. What's more egregious, Nathan MacKinnon not finishing top three, or Quinn Hughes finishing top three but not getting every single top three vote?
That's pretty ridiculous to me.
See, I told you.
Hellebuyck winning or MacKinnon?
Yeah. All the above.
Was it not worth the news, right? You see that?
All of the above?
I told you this was good news, or at least it was interesting news.
How many voters do you think want, like, there's no take backsies, obviously, but how many voters would like to redo their ballot after watching the playoffs?
A lot.
Yeah.
Just watching it like, nuts.
How did I forget that he does this every year?
Yeah, at the same time, right? Like, but the thing is, if you could say the same thing looking at Kucherov going out on the first round, Nathan MacKinnon and the Avs, you know, not going far enough. Although those guys, I would say, perform better than Hellebuyck individually, even though Hellebuyck went, you know, a little bit farther than they did.
Yeah.
But Draisaitl, if you look at it from playoffs too, probably should have just been him, right?
How big was the gap? Like, do you have the voting?
Yeah, I do have it up here. Yeah,
I honestly,
Hellebuyck got 1,346 points.
Yeah,
Draisaitl 1,209. So very close. But Hellebuyck had 81 first place votes, 81, and Draisaitl had 53.
So I think I would have gone MacKinnon this year.
Yeah, that's what I felt.
And I'm guessing that maybe some voters dox MacKinnon points for having Cale Makar as his running mate and Mikko Rantanen for a bunch of the year, but I don't know. MacKinnon was unbelievable this year. Kucherov didn't get... I'm surprised Kucherov ended up as a finalist, and I knew that already, but it's one of those things where I guess I'm comparing Connor Hellebuyck to... What's the most recent Hart Trophy winning season by a goalie? Carey Price in 2015. Mm-hmm. And when I think back to that Carey Price season, there wasn't a shadow of a doubt how incredible he was.
Yeah.
You know, and even if you just look by the numbers, he had a 933 save percentage, under 2 goals against, 44 wins. Incredible numbers.
I mean, it's
slightly better season stat-wise than what Connor Hellebuyck had, just by looking at the surface numbers on Hockey Reference.
Right, and even Jose Theodore, when he won the Hart Trophy in 2001-2002, he had a 931 save percentage that year.
The thing about this, and maybe it's because my brain is rewired to think like, okay, well, how did that team defend in front of their goalie? And I guess I'm docking Hellebuck points in my mind, because when I watched Winnipeg this year, I was very impressed at how well they defended in front of him. So I don't know. It wouldn't have been my vote, but congrats to Connor Hellebuck being the first goalie since Carey Price to win a first non-Montreal Canadiens goalie in forever to win a Hart Trophy.
Two comments here. First one is from Krez from Coquitlam. Helly winning the competition is like Iniesta and Ribéry losing out on the Ballon d'Or. And New West Nick, is okay. Kucherov...
You know what, Krez? The person that got most aggrieved by the Ballon d'Or is 2010 Wesley Snyder. And I say that about an Inter player.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay?
True.
But 2010 Wesley Snyder was unfreaking believable.
Well, they won the treble, right?
They won the treble, and he helped Holland get to the final of the World Cup in 2010.
Yeah, he was incredible.
He was unbelievable that year, man. That guy was unplayable for Jose Mourinho and Inter Milan. And anyways.
I know Josh is waiting to read questions.
The first question comes from Chester. Will the Canucks be the team to realize Nils Höglander is a top six winger in hiding?
You want to handle this one first?
I hope so, but it's not as simple as that. It never is for Höglander. And
I don't think, like, to me, Nils Höglander... okay, I don't like the term top six, because, like, he might play top six technically, but I don't consider Nils Höglander, like, I don't think his ceiling is being a guy that other teams really worry about.
No, it doesn't seem that way, right? I think more realistic.
Like,
more
is he a Zach Hyman?
No,
you know,
I mean, he's just like 7 inches shorter.
Look at Florida's wingers, you know, Matthew Tkachuk, Sam Reinhardt. Is he even a Carter Verhaeghe? Like, No, I don't see anything. Like, I see Nils Höglander being a very good player, but not like that kind of a player. You know what I mean?
But to your point, by default, he may very well be.
Yeah.
Is he in hiding as a surefire one? I'm not quite sure yet, because the thing with Höglander and the rates, I mean, the scoring rates and stuff have always been positive. Mm-hmm. And you go through what he's done by points per 60 and his production, what it's done. Can he play the system in a way that the coach will trust him to play bigger and harder minutes? That's the question with him. It's because we all see the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we know what the numbers are. It ultimately comes down to, can he play the game in a way that earns the trust of the coaches? And until he does that, I'm going to be riding the fence on this. Like, I'm not convinced until I see it.
He's done it for stretches. I mean, he won over Rick Tockett's trust on two separate occasions.
Towards
the end of last season and even the season... towards the end of the Pacific Division winning season.
Okay, a little bit.
Rick Tockett, there was a few moments, few occasions at the end of the year where he said Nils has maybe been our best forward in the second half.
There's no doubt, but I mean, Nils Höglander still was playing under Rick Tockett 12 minutes, 12 minutes, and 12:03. So his ice time, his first year he played 15:27, then 13:05, and then since then it's been 12 minutes even essentially for three straight years.
Yeah. Is he ever going to be... enough of a special teams player to get much more than that, though?
Yeah, so I think 5-on-5, if he can earn the trust and play in the top six, he can play 15 minutes again.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to have power play one time to play 14, 15, okay. Right?
Like, I like Nils Höglander as a player. Like, I don't see him as a top unit power play guy.
Yeah, it doesn't have
to be,
though.
If he is, like, maybe you're not... Your top unit power play is maybe not all that great.
Yeah, but if you let's say, for instance, he is your sixth top six forward and he plays on the left wing.
Yeah, that's fine.
Right?
Yeah.
That's okay. Like, can he be that and be really good at it? I hope so, because it would solve a lot of things for the Canucks if he can.
I think, ultimately, Nils Höglander might reach his potential and the Canucks will still need to find upgrades in their top six. Right? That's the way I look at
it. Yeah, and players who play in the top six will play... about 14 minutes at even strength time.
Yeah.
14 to 15 minutes, you know, in a game, generally with most of that being at even strength. You're playing 12 minutes, you're playing essentially third, fourth line minutes, right?
Yeah. Like Garland, essentially before this year, was like about as much as you could get as a 5-on-5 player.
Yeah.
It was like special teams time.
Yeah. And that's around the 15-minute range. Yeah. Can he get there? And if he gets there, I can feel pretty good about it. It's just, again, to me, it's not about the production as talent. It's, can he play the game in a way that he can earn the trust of his coach?
Next one from Austin and Langley. Over under of roster players traded this offseason set at 2.5. Are you taking the over or under?
Roster players?
Roster players.
roster. So, okay, roster players, we're saying also like Canucks roster players, not necessarily prospects, right? Like it has to be players on the Canucks roster.
Yeah, I would assume this just removes like Tom Elander and, right. and picks.
2.5?
2.5.
I'll take the under on 2.5. I don't know if they're going to trade 3 or more players off the roster. I can see 2.
I don't see how they get to 3.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, who is the third?
Like, to trade 3 players off the roster, I don't see it.
It would probably have to be like you move Demko in some trade.
Like, if we add Lekkomäki, Ratu, maybe some of those guys into the mix, then maybe you get there, but...
Teddy Bluger?
Yeah, I mean, okay, so...
It's not going to happen. So, it's going to be under.
It's going to be under, but let's talk about the path of how it would be over, right? Let's say the Canucks get Marco Rossi, mm-hmm. and let's say the Canucks, after getting Marco Rossi, are now in need of a legitimate defensive matchup type of centerman, because that's not Rossi, that's not Hedl, and that's not how Pettersson's been utilized.
Yeah.
If they do that, that could make Bluger available, potentially, right?
Mm-hmm.
And let's say they move one of the defensemen in the trade, in mm-hmm. a trade to get somebody, and then you're moving maybe Hoglander in a package.
You just love that, eh?
No, I don't love it. I'm just saying, I'm trying to like, how do you
there's
get
really not a there's not a lot of other guys that are like likely to be traded off this roster. I mean, you're not trading DeBrusque, you're not trading O'Connor, you're not trading Sherwood, you're not trading probably Joshua.
So
Hedl's untradeable almost.
Hedl, if he didn't get the concussion, I think he would have been more interesting.
Yeah.
I know this has been brought up before. I know Arash has brought this up before too. And I don't think this is going to happen with Hedl. But when you look at the buyout for Hedl, it's like, it's really funny because like it essentially clears all the money off the books.
Yeah.
It's a 1/3 buyout and you save over it's only like $140,000.
Because he's still just 25.
Year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now you have to pay for it 4 years, and there's a few years you pay like $1.5 million or along those lines for it. That to me might be more likely than Hedl getting traded for value, so to speak. You know what I mean? And I don't think they're going to do that because I do think they value Hedl either as an asset down the road or somebody who can help them with his size and speed combination, right? And the fact that he has a lot of tools that can help this Canucks forward group, the question just being, can he be healthy?
All right. Next one from Justin and East Van. Which players can the Canucks target from teams facing a salary cap crunch?
So Vegas and Dallas are the two most obvious ones. New York is in less of a cap crunch now. I think there's probably no question the Rangers are able to sign Will Cooley at this point, which would be the guy that I would try to target potentially off of that roster, given his size profile as a player. But beyond that, I think it's really just those two teams. There's not a ton of teams that are super, super cap strapped.
No, so not really, right? Like, there aren't a lot of teams that are cap strapped in that way. There are teams though you kind of wonder about, do they need to move some money around for budgetary reasons if they want to do more things? Like, for instance, right? The Senators have a lot of cap space. They have $15 million in cap space. But let's say that they want to keep Giroux. Mm-hmm. Let's say they go after a Brock Besser type. And then they add another goaltender as well. Like, it starts eating up that money pretty quickly. Would they be open to moving a Shane Pinto, who's a year away from getting a big contract potentially, to clear a little bit of space, but also get a lot of assets back in return if they're looking to make a couple things? So I wonder, but again, they're not cap strapped. So that's another team I would kind of keep in because they want to be aggressive. We even heard they may be in on Marner. And if they go after Marner, it's going to eat up most of that cap space. And if Ottawa is able to do those things, could a pretty nice forward be available from them too?
I guess Tampa could be on this list too, as well. You know, the Ryan McDonough's name has been mentioned, although like he was so good for them this year, I almost wonder if they find a way to keep him. Could they? I don't know what they might want to do, but do they want to keep Oliver Bjorkstrand? He was pretty much hurt. Wasn't able to help them during their playoff run, but that's a guy who can score a little bit off the wing. Canucks could use a player like that, but that's a $5 million player. I'm not sure that's the best use of your cap space if you are the Vancouver Canucks. So I don't know if there's a ton of teams that are ripe for targeting, given that the cap is going up quite a bit this year, but I would say Dallas and Vegas are the two to monitor most from my perspective.
Yeah.
Next one from Quinn to Win. What do you think the Sabres would say to a Pettersson for Tage Thompson swap?
Sabres?
The Sabres.
If the Canucks could get Tage Thompson from the Sabres, let's say the Canucks were talking to the Sabres last year, right? They were during the season, right? My opinion is, if the Sabres would have put Tage Thompson on the table, the Canucks would have made that deal.
Yeah.
So I think if Tage Thompson was available, I think the Canucks would do that, or at least they would strongly consider it. I don't think he is, though.
Hmm.
So to answer the question, I think Buffalo says no, Canucks might say yes.
Yeah. I feel like... I feel like Buffalo says arrivederci.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Yeah, and it's like, you know,
it's a short phone call.
I know people were asking us, would you trade Pettersson for a guy like Willie Nylander? It's like, if you can get an elite talent, I'm not against it. It's just
they were willing
unlikely.
To do it for Nietzsche, right?
Yeah.
So I feel like they would be willing to do it for a player like Tage Thompson.
Yeah.
I know there's questions about whether Tage can play center well enough to be a top line center, but guy's got the best 1T in the league, and I don't think there's much debate about it anymore. It's a rocket of a shot. He scores a lot.
Yeah.
He does have some warts as a player, but I don't see the value in that for Buffalo, especially when what's Pettersson making more, like four plus million more than Tage Thompson?
It's just not happening, right? Yeah. And you know, somebody's like, why are you guys crazy? We're answering questions. People are asking us questions.
Yeah.
And we're saying the Canucks would potentially do that, but the Sabres would not.
Mm.
Next one from Vancouver. What is the biggest package of futures you would do for Jason Robertson?
Oh, biggest package of futures.
I assume like you can also throw a roster player or two in there if it's a younger one or trying to make cap work.
So would you trade two first round picks for
So would the 15th
Robertson?
And I think Valander would have to be into it.
I think so. For them to make
Valander
that
deal, would be the centerpiece prospect plus another first round
pick. If I'm trading Valander, I'm not doing more than one first.
Mm.
I'm that's just your equivalent of
yeah,
two
so that would be kind of like how Ottawa structured the Mark Stone deal.
And I mean, I guess Rantanen, now, I guess it depends how you view Logan Stankoven, right?
Yeah.
Very talented player, but not the biggest player, obviously. So you look at value-wise. But Rantanen, I think, is a higher notch above.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing more. Now, if I'm not trading Villander, I think I would do two firsts.
Yeah. I would want trade protection on the 26 first.
Sure, top five protection. Sure.
But, yeah, I think...
Yeah,
I don't think it gets it done if you don't have the extra first in there.
I think
plus Willander.
Yeah, it depends
so
on what
you're
else
you're saying. Two firsts and Willander?
No, one for like 15 and Willander.
Oh yeah.
I think 15 and Willander.
Big price to pay though.
It's pretty expensive. Now maybe you have to add a roster player or two, and maybe you do some other things.
Maybe you get a pick swap back to make it like
more
less
palatable.
Hurtful.
Yeah,
but. Like Jason Robertson's a 40 goal scorer winger.
Yeah.
Like
I kind of
find that guy anywhere else.
A team would still beat that though. Like another team would beat the equivalent of Willander.
A lot of times, like it comes down to like what Dallas thinks of the prospects, mm-hmm. right? Ultimately, like why didn't the Canucks get Jake Guentzel? Well, Carolina preferred or Pittsburgh preferred all the Carolina prospects over whatever the Canucks were potentially offering. So that didn't help the Canucks equation then, but. Now, Dallas, at least from a depth chart perspective, as Sat mentioned, they do have a need at right shot in the future. So,
we'll end with this one. Justin and East Van, which sports league expands next, the NHL or the NBA? Or just any sports league?
I'd say NHL. NHL is way too eager to get that expansion money.
I don't think the NBA is too far away.
No.
But now, like with this news of Atlanta... I feel like NHL expansion is going to happen probably within the next few years.
Like before 2030?
Yeah. The thing about NBA is they're probably... Like, let's say they want to go to Seattle and Vegas. They pretty much already have the buildings available for them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You can go into Climate Pledge and I'm probably... like.
It's kind of 100% wild that they haven't already, to
yeah,
be honest.
I'm not 100% certain, but I'm sure they could go into Vegas as well, into T-Mobile and make it a dual-purpose facility for the Vegas Golden Knights and an NBA team. So I think NBA happens sooner because building availability is right there and waiting for them.
Yeah.
Which league do you think expands last? So, like, NHL, NBA both seem kind of close.
NFL.
NFL?
Yeah.
You think they stick at 32 for a while?
I think the NFL owners are making so much money that why would they want to...
Share a little bit?
Honestly, like, you know, I think it would have to be so overwhelming for them to welcome another franchise or two in.
Yeah.
You know, and their product is so good, you know, and it's so competitive as it is, hard to get quarterbacks. Like, I don't know. I think the NFL... Other leagues, there's real value in expanding, and it could for the NFL too, but it's almost like you have more to lose potentially.
Baseball just, I would say baseball just because it feels too fragile, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's funny because nobody talks about this now, but remember when they were talking about contracting the Twins a couple decades ago?
Right? Yeah.
That was a big conversation.
Yeah.
Are the Twins going to get retracted?
And now the Twins are, hey, they're a great team now.
Yeah.
I've always wondered, like, international expansion for baseball. Like, could they go into Mexico or something to that effect? Could they come back up to Canada and Montreal? But, I mean, with the way the dollar is going, I mean, the chances of the Expos coming back just seems further and further and further away. So.
Yeah, that stuff can always change, dollar stuff.
Yeah,
but
certainly.
Yeah.
But rather, I mean, quickly.
When you have a team playing in Tampa Bay and nobody shows up to their games, I have a hard time buying the argument that a team can't work in Montreal.
Yeah. That's fair.
See, the thing I think about baseball is that their
attendance matters so
they have
little.
To relocate like a few teams before they even consider expansion.
Yeah.
Yeah. The famous story is the Astros when they went through their big tank, and obviously it paid off wonderfully for them. But they for like 3 or 4 years they had zero, like their television ratings were zero.
Yeah.
They didn't register. Television ratings.
No, it just didn't. Like nothing.
Who's watching this?
Yeah.
Why? Why would you subject yourself to this torture? So
why would you? No, exactly. Dan from Langley, can you see another NHL team in Canada? I just think it's unlikely unless we have another situation where the game is at risk. Because the reason Canada started growing again, getting Winnipeg, you know, coming back and this resurgence of perhaps getting more Canadian teams was because the league was in a really bad spot.
Yeah.
The lockout had happened. They had a full year lockout. They had some really bad franchises. The finances for the league were really bad. So there was more value in, hey, at least we have a Canadian market where people care. And like at least we're going to hit a baseline. But the ceiling is very much lower too.
Yeah.
And given the point that you made, there are still so many bigger American markets that are banging on that door. I'm very skeptical that we see another Canadian hockey team anytime soon.
Yeah. It's
like, honestly, and again, like, you know,
I know Quebec has wanted it for a long time. Yeah. It just doesn't, it doesn't seem like the NHL thinks it's really viable.
Surrey is growing rather quickly.
And even Winnipeg, they went to Winnipeg mostly because they didn't have any other choice.
Yeah. No, yeah, exactly. Right. Like where else were we going to go? Yeah. It was Kansas City, I think was up two or something, right?
When Alberta eventually leaves and we replace old Alberta with new Alberta, right. We'll have new Edmonton and new Calgary.
Yeah, we can do that. That can always work out.
Surrey's going to have to build a bigger arena than just a 10,000 seater there, Josh.
Well, they'll expand.
Yeah. Well, maybe an AHL team could play there.
Nah, we're going big.
All right, we do have a giveaway for today. Canada is playing Honduras in a Gold Cup match Tuesday at BC Place, and we have two. Yes, not one, but two 4-packs to give away because we don't have a Friday show, so we're giving away two 4-packs today here on Canuck Central. That means you and three friends can head down to BC Place and get to watch the Canadian men's national team in a tournament match. Gold Cup is starting next week. Canada's first match against Honduras at BC Place. All you got to do is answer this skill testing question at 650-650 on the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. We were talking about Connor Hellebuck winning the Hart Trophy earlier this segment. Name a Canuck that has won the Hart Memorial Trophy as the league's most valuable player.
I know this one.
650, 650. It's a very difficult question. 650, 650 on the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. We'll announce the winners. Get to more mailbag overflow next on Canuck Central.
Talking all Canucks all the time. It's Canucks Talk with Jamie Dodd and Thomas Drantz. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.